It is a joy to be back in the house of the Lord tonight.
It is, amen.
And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, and how he blesses us. I'll get this turned on here in a minute, brother.
Yeah. But how good the Lord is to us, and how he blesses us, even through the storms. Even through the storms. I've thought a lot about and studied a lot about the storms in the Bible, the different storms. And I think about the storm where the disciples said, the Bible said, and the ship was now full, meaning full of water. Now, I've never seen a ship that was full that didn't sink.
Right.
But that ship didn't sink. You say, why? Because Jesus was on board.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And there's no ship that'll sink as long as Jesus is on board. Amen. And so I'm glad, amen, that Jesus is on board. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And amen. We may go through storms. We may go through trials. And we will. We will. But thank God, the captain, amen, the captain of our salvation, amen. He's going to bring that old gospel ship into port one day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to be at home with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Wonderful. Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything on your heart tonight? A song or anything? I sure wouldn't want to cheat anybody out of a blessing. All right. I appreciate everybody being so faithful this week. Everybody praying this week and just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what it takes, church. That's what it takes.
Amen.
And just keep holding to that unchanging hand. Just keep looking up. Amen. Just keep, amen, staying in the old paths. Amen.
Yep.
That works.
As yep.
Brother Jason said, that still works. Stay in the old pies. Amen. And God will bless you. Amen. He'll bless you. All right. Let's turn our Bible tonight. And again, if I knew something else funny, I'd tell you. But I told you all I knew the other night. Amen. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, some preachers, I get tickled at them. I mean, they can come up with stuff. I don't know. Amen. Where they get all that stuff. Amen. And I enjoy a preacher. You know, I used to, Mays Jackson and some of them just, amen, you'd not only cry tears of joy, but amen, you'd get so tickled you couldn't help but cry. Amen, tears. 1 Peter chapter number 5.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter number 5. And if you're able, stand with us tonight. And I want us to look at some scripture. We're just going to start in verse number 1 tonight, and we're really going to take our text just from one verse tonight. And I feel like the message tonight, amen, was shown here last night. And you'll see what I mean.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now that is good scripture for
Amen.
A pastor
yes.
and deacons right there.
Amen.
Amen. We don't lord over, amen, God's flock.
Right.
We lead by example, don't we? Amen. We lead by example. Now I'm not preaching on that, but that's good scripture. He said, verse number 4, and when the chief shepherd, thank God, shall appear, Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then he said, likewise. Now here's another good scripture. I mean, good message right here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I like that, don't you?
Amen.
Be clothed with humility. In other words, get rid of all the pride and put on humility. Humility wears well. It really does. As the scripture I read last night about the Lord Jesus Christ, His name, amen, before it was, amen, an exalted name, it was a humble name. Amen, before it was a name of exaltation, it was a name of humiliation as He walked this earth. Amen, and went to the cross of Calvary. But notice this. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. But here's my text verse tonight. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Nathan, would you ask the Lord to bless His word tonight?
Lord, we thank You for meeting with us again tonight. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity You give us, the health and strength.
Yes, Lord.
In Your house, Lord, this Your night. Lord, we thank You for what's been said and done this week. Lord, we thank You for the lives that's been changed, for the people that's accepted You, may have rededicated to You. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, and give You all the praise and glory for it. Lord, we ask You, Lord, just to lead, guide, and direct, Lord, in the furtherance of this service. Lord, we're here to see You, and for no other reason, and give You the honor and glory and praise for it. Lord, just lead, guide us, and direct us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on You. We'll give You the praise for it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Nathan. I appreciate that good prayer. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. As I was going home last night thinking about the good service that the Lord blessed us with, I told him in the prayer room, I said, it's been a long time. Amen. It's been a long time since I was in a service like we had here last night. Amen. And those services used to be more frequent, amen, than they are now.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's true. But thank God when they come.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. When the Lord, amen. I mean, when He just takes over everything. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. And you can just mind the Lord and do what God wants you to do. And amen. The Spirit of God just seemed like touched every heart and worked. And amen. Do you know what that told me? As I was going home, I was thinking, Lord, what were You trying to show us last night?
Right.
Amen. Because we ought to look for that in every service. God, what are You trying to say? What are You trying to show me?
Amen.
What are You trying to reveal unto me that'll help me be what I need to be? And as I was going home, amen, the Lord, amen, was speaking in my heart. And today, amen, He was saying this. He was saying, I was trying to show everybody that I still care.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. I mean, that's what He was doing last night.
Amen.
He was showing us last night that He still cares, amen, about His people, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God. I mean, what a blessing that is. And I couldn't get this scripture off of my mind, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That word careth, amen, that is a continuing word. I mean, He never stops caring. He careth.
Right.
Amen. He didn't just care yesterday and not care today. Amen. He still cares today.
Right. Amen.
Thank God. Regardless of where you are in life, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how many times the devil tells you that, amen, that God doesn't care anymore, He still cares.
Amen.
I'm so thankful tonight, amen, for that scripture. I have used that, amen, in some of the darkest midnights of my life. I've had to go back to it. I've had to go back, Brother Nathan, so I could stand on that promise. Because the devil would say, God doesn't care about you. And I'd have to go back to His word. And I'd have, like Jesus did on the mountain of temptation, I'd have to say, devil, this is what God said.
Right.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
Thank God. That verse is one of those midnight verses. As I thought about this and was thinking about, it seems to me that in our day, in the time we're living in, that the devil is unceasingly sowing the seed, amen, of discouragement and depression among the people of God. I mean, it seems like he's out there and he, amen, he's just sowing, sowing, sowing all the time those seeds. That, as a matter of fact, that is one of the seeds the devil uses most among God's people. Amen. Hey, he can't take your salvation. Amen. He can't steal that away. He can't rob that away. But he knows if he can get you discouraged and out of heart, amen, he might get you to throw in the towel and just sit down.
Amen.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon, who himself dealt with times of severe depression, he said it like this. He said, the strong are not always vigorous, the brave are not always courageous, and the joyful are not always happy. Amen. You see, beloved, all of us here tonight, all of us, if we'd be honest before God, all of us, amen, struggle at times with discouragement and depression. And some to a greater degree than others. But we all deal with it somewhere. I'm telling you, when I get sick, it's over, brother. Amen. When I get down sick, amen, for more than just a few days, it's about over, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when I had that COVID for about 3 weeks, amen, I'm telling you, I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like, I felt so bad I didn't do nothing, amen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I got out of sorts quick, amen. Discouraged. And all going on in the church during that time, you know, and everything going on. And the devil said, oh boy, it's about over for you. Amen.
Yeah.
And getting out of heart, you know. And you as a church, amen, not just as individuals, but as a church, you face that. Amen. Through COVID and through other things that have taken place, you face that. And the devil's come along, amen, and said, why don't you just quit trying to get you out of heart and discourage you and keep you down? Amen. Hey, listen, if there's any hope for America tonight, amen, it's in churches like this church.
Amen
right there. If there's any hope left for this country, amen, it'll be from those that seek God and pray, amen.
Amen.
That's the only hope for America tonight. It's those that are saved, born of the Spirit of God, that know God and are willing to seek God's face. That's the only hope for this nation. Amen. Our hope's not in Washington.
Right.
Our hope's not in the politicians. Amen. Our hope, amen, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that's seated on the throne of heaven, amen. Oh, and if he doesn't help us, we'll have no help.
Right.
The only hope, for, amen, for our young people is churches like this church. And if the devil can get you to quit and get you to, amen, just throw in the towel, be done, give up, forget about it. Hey, he's winning the battle.
Amen.
So listen tonight. As much as the devil tries to tell you, you know, discouragement and depression, it steals your reality. That's what it does. Depression will tell you, hey, nobody else cares about you. Depression will tell you that nobody else understands what you're going through. Amen. Nobody cares about you. No, nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody's had to face what you've had to face. Amen. That's how the devil uses discouragement and depression. And he'll work on you and say, nobody cares. And God don't care. And your brothers and sisters and the church, they don't care. Amen. That's what the devil will say. Amen. But regardless of what the devil said, the word of God, amen, Jesus said, casting all of your care upon me, for I careth for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. I'll tell you. When the devil comes at you and fights you, amen, take him to the Word of God, amen.
That's right.
That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said, it is written, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Word of God is amen, it's our offense and our defense. Discouragement and depression, makes you feel like nobody cares. If I ask everybody in here tonight, I say, there ever been a time or times, amen, not just one time, but times that you've been there? Nobody cares. Well, the Lord doesn't care, because if he really cared, this wouldn't have happened. That's what the devil will say. He'll whisper that in your ear. Amen. Then we'll say, oh, well, you know, if the Lord really cared about you, you wouldn't be going through this. If the Lord really cared about, amen, your family, you wouldn't be going through this. If he really cared about the church wouldn't be going through this. Amen. Those prosperity preachers, amen, they make it sound like, you know, if you ain't living high on the hog 365 days a year, you must not have enough faith.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I'll tell you what's the truth. Amen. Reading the life of Charles Spurgeon, the biography, amen, I'll tell you what. I don't know, amen, many people that had faith like that man had. And yet he dealt with depression. He dealt, amen, so that... I read one time that he would lock himself away for weeks at a time, fighting that depression and discouragement. Could I tell you tonight about somebody who cares? Could I tell you tonight about somebody who cares? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That wonderful, lovely name that's above all other names. Amen. It's that sweet, sweet name, Jesus. He really cares.
Amen.
That's what I'm preaching on tonight. Jesus really cares. He really does. As a matter of fact, if I were to read the New Testament for the first time, having never read it before, if I were to pick up the Bible and begin to read the New Testament and read through there and read about, amen, the life of Jesus and what he said and what he did and all the things that he done, I would come away, amen, with the conclusion that that man Jesus, the Son of God, he cares about people, amen. You can't read the Bible, the New Testament, without seeing how much Jesus really cares. The Bible said in the book of Acts, talking about Jesus, who went about doing good. Hallelujah. You know why he went about doing good? Because he cared for people.
Yeah.
And it showed all through the New Testament that he cares. Jesus really, really cares. And do you know what? Even, and I don't think that's so. But if it could be possible, if somehow, some way, everybody else quit caring, Jesus would still care. Amen. He would still care. Even if everybody else stopped caring, he would still care. But thank God tonight for our brothers and our sisters and our church family that cares. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That stick together through thick and thin. Amen. I've known people, listen, I've known people in my ministry down through the years. I've known people, amen, the first little bit of trouble comes up in the church, they're gone. I mean, hey, it don't take much of anything, and they're up and gone, amen. But that's not how a body works. I said the other night about the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul describes the church as a body, and amen, and he talks about different parts and how important every part of the body really is. If one part of my body gets hurt, amen, every other part of my body goes to its aid. And that's the way a church is supposed to work, amen. Thank God, that's how Jesus, amen, designed the church to be. Amen, is when one hurts, amen, everybody goes to help heal the hurt.
Amen.
Amen. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how a church grows. That's how a church functions as a body. You don't just up and run off, amen, at the first sign of something wrong. Amen. You stick it out. You stick it out. You stick it out together. Amen. Jesus still cares. Amen. He cares for the church. That was very evident last night.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have enjoyed anything like we enjoyed, amen, if Jesus didn't still care. I feel like last night Jesus brought, amen, I feel like he brought help. I feel like he brought healing. Amen. I really do. I feel like he come in and took some of that balm of Gilead, amen, and started rubbing. Yeah. I thank God he started rubbing that on folk.
Yeah.
Amen. Helping them to heal and get stronger.
Amen.
I love it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we think about all that Jesus cares, and I mean, you could preach this so many ways and so many thoughts, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
My goodness, you could preach so much on that. How Jesus, amen, he cares for the church, amen. He cares for our families, and amen. You could just go right on. He even cares about this country. Do you know that? He really does. There has never been a country, amen, like this country. Amen. And I believe this nation was God ordained from the beginning.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe it was God ordained. I believe it was God, amen, that put in the hearts of those that came over here, amen, that they might come and worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. Jesus still cares about this country. And you could go on. Let me give you just a few things tonight. Beloved, could I tell you tonight that Jesus really cares about the salvation of sinners? Do you read that when you read through the New Testament?
Amen.
Do you read through there? Could you read through there and find anywhere that amen, in your Bible that says Jesus doesn't care about people being saved? No, you'll never find that.
Amen.
I mean, hey, he shows by all that he did that he really cares about the salvation of sinners, doesn't he? The Bible said there in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, amen, but sinners to repentance, amen. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He goes on there in the book of Matthew and he says this, chapter 18, verse 11. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That tells me he cares about sinners being saved. You go on down in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Could I tell you, beloved, tonight, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, amen, as your Savior, he cares about you. He cares about saving your soul. He really does. Amen. He cares, amen, about the fact, amen, that you have a soul. Amen. David said, no man careth for my soul. But I can tell you tonight, there's one, thank God, that cares for your soul.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Creation was the work, amen, of God's hands, but Calvary was the work of God's heart.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can look to Calvary and see the heart of God.
Yes.
Amen. Look to Calvary and see the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, amen, thank God, I'm glad he put that in there.
Right.
I'd have never made it, Brother Jason.
Amen.
But it said, whosoever, and hey, that means even me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. Amen. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love. That word commendeth means to show forth, to put on display, to let you know. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Could I tell you tonight, if you've never been saved, Jesus cares about the salvation of your soul. Matter of fact, he cares so much about the salvation of your soul, amen, that he went to the rugged cross of Calvary, amen, and died there. Bearing the shame, amen. Bearing the shame and the sin for you. He died in your place that you could be saved and have everlasting life. That's how much he cared. You can't read through the Gospels and through the New Testament without seeing how much Jesus cares about the salvation of sinners. That was his whole purpose in coming to this world. You ever really just sat down and meditated and thought about that? You ever just sat down and meditated and thought about the fact that the only begotten Son of God, the very Son of God himself, I mean the highest of the highest, the greatest of the greatest, the most magnificent of magnificent. I mean him. And yet he came in this world. God could not die. And so he took a body of flesh, likened unto sinful flesh, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And he took upon a body likened to sinful flesh. Amen. That he could die for our sin. You think about it. God, the very Son of God, walked this earth, amen, in shoe leather just like we do. He felt the pains that we feel. The Bible said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You say, why did God become man? He did something. He became something he had never been, Brother Jason.
Yeah, that's right.
God had never been man. But he became the God-man in his only begotten Son, didn't he?
Amen.
The very Son of God. And he walked this earth. Amen. And he got weary and he got tired and he got hungry. He felt pain. Brother James, he must have felt pain even more acutely than we can feel pain, especially emotional pain, because he could see and understand things we can't. But he came here in this world, the very Son of God. Everything he ever, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Everything he ever used was borrowed. He preached, amen, from the deck of a borrowed ship. He borrowed the lad of a lunch, amen, to feed the 5,000. He said, the birds of the airs have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. He never owned anything in this world save the clothes he wore. And everything he used, he borrowed. He borrowed a cross to die on. Yeah.
Amen.
He took the cross of Barabbas. That was my cross, Brother Jason. That was your cross. And he took that cross willingly. Pilate said unto him, Pilate said, knowest thou not when Jesus didn't say anything? And Pilate marveled that he didn't speak. And Pilate said, knowest thou not that I have power, amen, to let thee go? And Jesus said, thou wouldst have no power at all except it were given thee from heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus willingly took that cross. They'd have never put him on that cross if he hadn't have went willingly.
Amen.
He would have called down, amen, 12,000 angels like that. And yet he willingly took that cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Amen. The tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He's buried in his tomb. Amen. Everything he ever had was borrowed. Amen. You don't read in the scripture anywhere that he ever bought anything except one thing.
Amen. That's right.
He just bought one thing. Amen. He bought one thing. He paid the price of redemption.
Amen.
To buy you and to buy me. Amen. That's what redemption means. It means to purchase, to buy back. We were all sold under sin. The Bible said sold under sin. Sold under sin. But thank God we had a Redeemer that was willing to come. Amen. And pay the price that God demanded. And that price, amen, was the price of sinless blood. The price of his only begotten Son, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. and he paid that price willingly. As we read last night, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how far he came down. Tell me tonight that Jesus doesn't really care about the salvation of sinners. Amen. Nobody could ever make that statement, because the Word of God proves out that He really cares. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, hey, listen, run to Christ. Come to Jesus tonight. He stands with open arms to welcome you. He already paid your debt of sin. You just have to accept and receive Him. The Bible said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Jesus went to His hometown. Jesus went to His hometown of Nazareth. Amen. And the Bible said He went into the synagogue and He read. The Bible said in one place, amen, that just before that He had went through all the cities and villages and towns and He had healed all that were sick with any disease or infirmity. But yet when He came to Nazareth, when He went to His own hometown, the Bible said He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Save He healed a few sick folk. A few sick folk. A few. His own hometown rejected Him. Matter of fact, when He taught in the synagogue, amen, there in the book of Luke, when He taught in the synagogue in His hometown of Nazareth, and He began to, amen, expound the Scriptures unto Him, they said, "Where hath this man this learning?" They couldn't believe. They said, "Is not this the carpenter?" Amen. Never man spake like this man, the Bible said. And yet, when He expounded unto them the great truths, the Bible said that they cast Him out of the city and they took Him up to a hill to cast Him off headlong. Amen. But He passed out of their midst. He got away from them because it wasn't time. It wasn't the place. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you reject Him, you'll never have an opportunity. Amen. All of eternity, amen, you will lift your eyes up in hell and the lake of fire. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no purgatory getting out after so many years or people praying you out. You never come out. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Amen. Jesus cares about the salvation of sinners. He died that you could be saved. And if you're unsaved tonight, hey, if you're just unsure tonight, come up here and make sure. Be sure. Know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Go on down through the Scriptures and read through the New Testament. You find not only does Jesus care about the salvation of sinners, amen, but Jesus cares about the suffering of His saints. I was reading there, amen, in Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Amen. Chapter number 7 in the book of Luke. And I want you to listen to this. This is one of those places where it shows how much Jesus really cares. In Luke chapter number 7, down about verse number 11, I want you to notice the Bible said, "And it came to pass the day after that He went into a city called Nain, and many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. Now when He came nigh to the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Her husband had already died." And the Bible said, "And much people of the city was with her." Oh, but verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her He cared. And said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Now, when you think and you study that, the city of Nain is mentioned nowhere else in the Bible. Nowhere else in the Bible. It's never mentioned just one time. It was a very small city, an unimportant city. Mostly poor people lived there in the city of Nain. It was unrecognized. Wasn't important, but it was important to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen right there.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, hey, it may not seem like it's important to anybody else, but it is important to Jesus. I guarantee you that.
Amen.
It may seem small and insignificant to everybody else, but it matters to Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because He cares. He really cares about your suffering. The devil will say, oh, He don't care. He don't care. But just like this widow in the city of Nain, a very insignificant place, a very unimportant place, and yet Jesus went there to show her that He cared. We go through trials and tribulations, and the devil sows seed of discouragement and doubt and depression, and he say, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Could I tell you tonight, Jesus cares. He really does. He cares. More than anybody else could care, He cares about your suffering, your heartache, your pain, your trouble, your trial. It may seem little. Somebody said one time, said so-and-so, he's going in to have some minor surgery. I said, brother, if that's you, it wouldn't be minor. Amen.
Right.
It's never minor when it's you, is it? It's never minor when it's you. It's always major, isn't it? When we go through something, amen, may seem insignificant to other people, but it's major to us, isn't it? And Jesus, He really cares. Don't listen to the devil, beloved. Don't pay no attention to him. As much as he tries, you take him right back to the Word of God. You read through the Bible and look at all that Jesus did to prove, amen, that He cares for you.
Amen.
Come on down through the Bible, and I thought about how He really cares about the strength of His servants. Part of that verse we was preaching about the other night, or talking about Matthew 11:28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He really cares about the strength of His servants, doesn't He? That's why He said, come and rest. A lot of times we don't much rest, do we? And I preached on that the other night. But one of the best pictures of rest in the Bible is the comparison between Martha and Mary. You read over there in the Scripture, and I think that's Luke 11. But you read over there in the scripture how that Martha, she was serving the Lord, and she was serving the Lord, and she was serving the Lord. And amen. I said one time, she's in there cooking beans and taters and cornbread. Amen. She wanted to please the Lord. She wanted to do for the Lord. She wanted to make a good meal for the Lord. And she is in there sweating and laboring, amen, and cooking up a nice meal. And finally, amen, she hit the breaking point and amen, and said to the Lord, amen. And this is not verbatim. Why don't you tell Mary to get in here and help me with this supper? Amen. Amen. That's right now.
Yeah.
That's right. That Mary, all she's doing is sitting in there. All she's doing is sitting in there. All she's doing is sitting in there. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, I can hear him. Can't you? I can see him kind of put his hand up on her shoulder and say, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with many things. But Mary, she has chosen that good part. Yeah. Mary chose the good part, you see. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what Jesus was trying to tell Martha? He's saying, Martha, I still care. You need to come and rest. And not worry right now about making supper. Just come sit at my feet. Supper, we'll wait on that till later. Amen. He cares about the strength of his servants. I find in the scriptures, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, come apart and rest ye a while. Let's go into a desert place. There'd been multitudes around them for days. And he said, let's go into the desert and get some rest. Somebody said one time, said, hey man, you better come apart before you come apart. And that's the truth, isn't it? Luke 11, in verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Lord, don't you care? I'm in here all by myself. Nobody's helping me. Don't you care? Sure he cares. That's what the devil did. He'd slipped in there and whispered, Martha said, well, they don't care. They're just sitting in there, letting you do all that work. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. There's something bothering her. Do you know that? It's more than making supper. The Bible doesn't describe, he said many things. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You may be here tonight and you're cumbered about. You're careful and troubled. The word careful meaning anxious. You're anxious and troubled about many things. And Jesus said, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He said, Martha, what you need to do is come in here and sit down. And let me teach you some things, Martha, and it'll help you. Hadn't it been good to sit in the house of the Lord this week and amen, get some of that heavenly rest? I don't know about you. I went home last night, wound up, amen, like a 30-day clock. Amen. I like to never went to sleep. It was way up in the night before I went to sleep. I was just praising God. Amen.
Amen.
I wasn't encumbered about anything. I was just having a good time. But he cares about the strength of his servants. Church, you feel like he's give you something this week. It's give you a little bit more strength to go on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's given that to me. I can tell you that. I thought about old Elijah over there, in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I thought about how Elijah had won that great victory there on Mount Carmel and all of that, amen. And he was wore out. I mean, he had slew all those prophets of Baal. And he didn't have nobody to encourage him.
Right.
Where was those 100 prophets that Obadiah had hid out in the cave? Where was they?
Right.
Amen. They was in the cave. Hiding, that's right.
Amen.
They were in the cave. When they ought to have been out there, hey, Elijah, lay it on them, Elijah. Get with it. We're behind you, Elijah. But Elijah felt all alone, didn't he? And when Jezebel said, amen, that his life would be like the life of one of those prophets before the next day, he took off running and went into the wilderness and got under the juniper tree. And he said, oh Lord, it is enough now, oh Lord, let me die. He wanted to die because he felt like he failed God. All those prophets that Jezebel had killed and slew, they had stood and preached the truth, amen, that they stood even unto the death. And when Elijah heard death, he took off. And he went into the wilderness. And he said, oh Lord, it is enough. Let me die, for I am not better than my father. He felt like he failed God. That's how he felt. He felt like he failed God. He said, Lord, I didn't stay and stand up, amen, until the end. He said, I should have stayed there and died if that's what it took. But he said, Lord, just kill me here. I failed you, Lord. And you know the story. The angel smote him on the side. He was under that juniper tree, fell asleep. The angel smote him on the side, said, wake up, get up. And you know what God had done? God had baked him a cake. Amen. That's right. You read it. The Bible said there was a cruse of water and a cake beside Elijah. And the angel of the Lord said, get up and eat. God baked him a cake. You know what I found at some of my lowest points? Brother Bill, sometimes when I've been at my lowest and I couldn't do nothing but look up, God had baked me a cake. Hallelujah. God had baked me a cake. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the difference between us and God. Amen. We bake cakes for celebrations and victories. God bakes cake for defeat and failure. Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
God bakes cakes. Amen. Amen. When we feel like we failed, here comes God. Or we feel like we're at the lowest we could ever get, here comes God with a cake. Man, he sent some cake last night, didn't he?
Amen.
You say what kind? It had to have been strawberry. Amen. You can't beat strawberry cake. Amen.
Yeah.
He baked us a cake last night, I'm telling you. And then I read over in John chapter 21. The disciples had already saw the resurrected Lord. They'd already saw Him two times. And Peter told, he said, I go fishing. And they said, we're going with you.
Yeah.
And they went in the boat and went fishing. See, Peter was like Elijah. When he denied Christ, he felt like he had failed Him so bad he'd never be any use to the Lord again. You ever been there?
Amen.
Brother, I have. Amen. I felt like I failed the Lord so bad. Amen. That God put me on the shelf and I was done. Forget about it, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
I was done.
Amen.
Just forget about it. And that's what Peter felt. And he said, I go fishing. And the rest of them said, we're going with you. Might as well. And they'd already seen the Lord twice. Amen. You say, well, if I would have saw the Lord twice, I wouldn't have went fishing. Well, You probably would. Bible said that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. I figure Peter is too. And so they went fishing. But the next morning, there's somebody standing on the shore. He said, "Children, have you any meat? Hey, we've toiled all the night." Looks like Ada remembered. That sounds familiar. The Lord already done that one time before.
Yeah.
Cast your net on the right side. They cast their net on the right side. And it enclosed a multitude of fishes. And John, the beloved John, John told people, he said, "It is the Lord." He knew who that was. And Peter girt his fisher's coat about him and jumped out of that boat and swam to the shore. And he got on the shore and they come, them fishes, and dragging them fishes in. And when they got there, the Lord already had something else baking. Didn't the Bible say that there were fish baking on the coals? Yeah, read it over there. Said there was fish baking on the coals. And Jesus said, "Come and dine." Hallelujah. You didn't know the Lord is such a good baker, did you? And so they came and they sat down and they started eating fish with the Lord. And Peter, sitting there feeling like a failure. I can see him. He wasn't high-feet that fish. He just sat there and nibble at it a little, you know. Just sat there and nibble at it a little. Wouldn't even look at the Lord. Amen. He wouldn't hardly even look up at him, I don't think. They sat there and eat their fish. The Lord said, "Now, Peter, you denied me three times and you're no longer fit for the work of the Lord." You know better than that, don't you? That wasn't what he said, was it? He didn't say, "Peter, I heard you cussing out there that night." He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, "Now, Peter, if you'll just get right, if you'll just get right, we'll think about letting you get back in the work of the Lord." He didn't say that, did he? He said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And some will say he was referencing one thing and referencing another. But he said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And he asked him again. He said, "Peter," and of course, Peter, the Lord said, "What? What did he say?" He said, "Feed my sheep." And he asked him again. See, Peter's sitting there feeling like a failure. And he asked him, he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And the Lord said, "Feed my lambs." And he asked him one more time, three times. The number three in the Bible, amen, is the number of perfect completeness. It means as complete as can possibly be. Peter denied the Lord three times. He denied him as completely as anybody can deny the Lord. And he asked him the third, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love you, Lord. Thou knowest I love you." And he said, "Peter, go feed my lambs." Do you see what I'm saying tonight? Jesus really cares about you. You may be here tonight lost. You've never been saved. He cares about saving you tonight. You may be here tonight and you're like that widow of Nain, and your heart's been broke. Your heart's been broken and it don't feel like it'll ever get unbroke again. Could I tell you, Jesus, He still cares about you. And He can help mend up that heart. He can help you with that. And you may be here tonight. If you missed out on last night, you missed that, I'm telling you. You missed something. You missed some real help.
Amen.
But you may be here tonight and you're just like Elijah. You just, Peter, you just, what's the use anymore, you know? What's the use? You know what the Lord's saying? He's saying, get back in there. See, Peter completely denied Him. But the Lord did what? He completely forgave him. That's why He did that three times. He wanted to show Peter that he was completely forgiven. Put that behind you, Peter. Get that behind you. You can't live on what you did back there a few days ago, Peter. Put it behind you. You're forgiven. Just get up and get going for God. Amen. That's right. Not that Peter didn't suffer consequences. He did suffer consequences for denying the Lord. He really did. That hindered Peter for a long time. And you can study it out in Peter's life. It hindered Peter a lot. I think the devil brought it up to him a lot, Brother Jason.
Yeah, amen.
The devil said, well, now you denied the Lord. You ain't fit to do nothing. So tonight, church, I'm saying, I just want to leave you with this thought. No matter what you face, no matter what comes your way, no matter how high the waves get and the dark, how dark the clouds become, no matter how loud the thunder is, Jesus still cares.
Amen.
He still cares. Don't let the devil ever tell you any different. Try as he may. You just come right back to that. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Amen. Go back to John 21. Go back to those scriptures. Go back, amen, to 1 Kings chapter 19. Read about how the Lord really, really cares. Because He does. David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He still cares. He proved that. He's proved that to me over and over and over. He's proved that to you over and over and over. Let me tell you this. I'll just give you this and I'm done. Thinking about Elijah. You read the story of Elijah and you can see how much the Lord cared about him. When that drought started, He took him down by the brook of Cherith. He said, now you go down there. And He said, I'll feed you down there. And the ravens, unclean birds, Jason.
Yeah.
You ever thought about why the Lord used them ravens? Study on that a little bit. But those ravens had come and dropped flesh and bread in the morning, flesh and bread in the evening. Mays Jackson said, well, that's where the Bible tells you you're only supposed to eat two times a day. Amen. Brother Richard Trivett said, he said, I can see it. He is in a big way preaching one night. Oh, he said, I can see it. He said, I see Ahab out there behind the palace. And, amen. He's grilling some of them New York strips and those porterhouses. And said, he turned his back and said, one of them ravens come by and went, phew, and gone. And Ahab turned around and said, where'd my steak go? And Elijah was sitting down there eating it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's not what the Bible said, but that's pretty good. Amen. Kind of like that fella on that movie, Dennis the Menace, when that wetback blowed up, blowed that paint all over his tank. Amen. But now you think about it. And then Brother Nathan, when the brook dried up, God didn't say, you know, just stay there and die. God said, there's a widow woman up there at Zarephath. He said, you go up there. And he said, she'll sustain you. He went up there. She said, I don't have enough just for me and my boy. And Elijah said, if you'll bake me a cake of bread, it'll be all right.
Amen.
And the Bible said the barrel of meal never wasted throughout that whole drought. Amen. Old Brother John Gooch preached a good message on that one time.
Yes.
He preached on whose meal is in your barrel.
Amen.
You remember that,
yes,
brother?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Children, the Lord will never let you down. No matter how much the devil tells you he does and will, he never does and he never will. He still cares for you. And again, tonight, if God is dealing with your heart about being saved, or you're having doubts, you know, you're having those doubts. I'm just not sure, preacher. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Why don't you come and take care of that tonight? Let Jesus help you. You may have come burdened down tonight. I mean, everything may have just blew up today. He still cares. Amen. Brother Jason, you go right ahead, brother. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you.
Preacher. Amen.
You give the invitation however the Lord leads you, brother.
Amen. I appreciate that tonight, brother.